Hola, mi amor, bienvenido al podcast de los puertorriqueños. Aquí estamos. Today's episode is going to be in English, don't worry, but there's a little bit of Spanglish, and we are celebrating our incredible Puerto Rican culture. We're talking about the diaspora. We're talking about what it's like to be a Latino displaced from your country. And my gorgeous friend Yari is here as a guest. And not only is it powerful because Benito is coming to Australia, the furthest away freaking island that you could possibly be. The concert is happening at the end of the month. We're going to the concert, of course, both nights. But prior to this, I've been in Australia for 16 years now. In February this month, it'll be 16 years. And I can tell you, hand on heart, there are no Puerto Ricans here. There's like 8 to 10 Puerto Ricans in this entire country. And it's been so difficult to feel connected to our culture, to celebrate our culture, to find community and like-minded. And celebrate with the Latinos here. So I'm so excited for you to listen to this episode. If you are a Latino or somebody who's living outside of your motherland, this episode is for you. Let's go. Hello, mi gente. Welcome to the podcast. We have Yadira.
Hola.
Bueno,
How you doing?
if you don't already know, friends, we are clearly, estamos aquí talking about Puerto Rico.
Huepa mi gente, huepa mi gente.
We literally can't have any more flags. We tried to put more up, but it was a bit ridiculous. Here we go, here we go. We might have a shot of
No,
Don
seriously, I do this in Puerto Rico. I take a photo and then I send it to my friends and I say, count how many Puerto Rican flags you can see in the frame. Seriously, always more than five. Always more than
Dios
five.
mío. No, I'm so happy. I love you. So we are here because Yari is obviously Boricua, and
Yeah.
she, Yari, how long have you been in Australia?
Oh my God. In February, it's 10 years, girl.
Holy shit, February.
Babe, February,
February is
February.
my one too, my anniversary. Beginning of February?
Really?
Like the
No.
5th.
Oh, no, I'm like 24th.
What?
10
10
years. And
years?
you?
16. 16
Sweet
years.
16, girl.
Oh, mi little quinceañero 16 or whatever it's called. Holy shit. So we wanted to talk about it
Yeah.
because obviously we live in Australia, which is the
Yeah.
furthest freaking island from
Girl, island, seriously.
And I want to tell you how I met this amazing human because if you've been listening to the podcast, you know I'm not the only Puerto Rican in Australia. And for a long time, I felt like there's nobody. I just, you're in a taxi or an Uber and you meet a Colombian or a Chileno. Where are you from? Oh, Puerto Rico. Oh, I've never met a Puerto Rican. And I'm
Yeah.
like, really? No. I'm like, how long have you been here? 20 years. I'm like, fuck, they're not here.
That's so true. Actually, so they usually tell me, oh, I didn't meet a Puerto Rican. Or they go straight to like, oh, Jennifer Lopez, or like the big names, you know? And I'm like,
Mark
yeah,
Anthony.
we're
Yeah, Ricky
friends.
Martin. That's my
See?
cousin, baby.
Yeah,
We all cousins,
we
okay?
travel together.
So it's like, oh my
Yeah.
God. So I was at an event and there was a guy who a lovely guy who was behind the camera and he was like, where are you from? And I was like, Puerto Rico. And he was like, oh, I know a Puerto Rican woman. And I was just like, no, you don't.
I know.
I'm like, Robert, is it Robert?
Yeah,
Shout out
it
to Robert.
is
We love you.
Robert.
Ooh. I'm like, Robert, shut up. You don't know Puerto Rico. I'm like, yeah. And this Blanco, he's like, yeah, I know Puerto Rican. I'm like, we're not in South America. I'm
I
not from
know.
Mexico. Like, no, she's from Puerto
But he
Rico.
knows his stuff.
I
He
know,
really,
but
really
to be
knows.
honest, after, I don't know, this must have been now, that was like 14 years here, because I've known you for like 3 years now, 3 years. So that was here 13 years. And I'm like, Robert,
Wow.
you're gonna be like everybody else. So don't
Yeah.
judge, okay? Because you never know. And he was like, I'm gonna send you her LinkedIn. I'm like, she's not on LinkedIn. What? And then he sends me Yadira's
And
LinkedIn, Dr. Perez.
oh my God. And like he instantly sent me a text message and your LinkedIn. And I was like, wait a minute. And I
I
went through
know.
like a dark hole. I was like, verate, who is this? And then I was like, wait a minute. Not only is she a Puerto Rican, but like she's from the States and like your everything, your
I
like your
love you.
vibe, your essence. I was like, this is it. Like
We're besties.
instantly.
I know.
I was like, I just, how do I tell her like I really want to connect, like
Yep.
intimately. Like
We're gonna
I'm
be
like,
best
hi.
friends,
I'm like, hi, I'm Puerto
bitch.
Rican. Yes, Rob put me in contact. And like, and you were instant. You're
I was,
like,
girl,
let's meet.
I saw, first of all, I saw her photo. Look at her. If you're watching on YouTube, this is Yari. Tell me, she's like, it's a Puerto Riqueño, pero de pura cepa. And I was like, oh, she is Puerto Rican. And I was like, Rob, she is. He's like, I know, I told you. I was like, no, but I didn't believe you. And then I found her And we messaged each other. We were like, we have to meet. And I was going to school in the city. And then she lives in the city.
Yeah.
Nana, if I had I wish I would have videoed.
I know.
We should have had Rob video us meeting.
I do feel that with all the drones in the city,
they have CCTV in that shit.
They've caught that because it is out of character from a Bornians to kind of greet the way we greet. Girl. Like we greeted.
Like screaming across the room.
We've never met before and we knew.
We knew.
We knew. We're like from across the way. We're wearing bright colors.
I know. I was so happy to see you. I was like,
wait, you have.
I had a black jacket, but I had my Puerto Rican earrings.
You had your Puerto Rican earrings. Yeah.
I had my earrings.
I'm like that. I'm like revisioning that whole thing.
Oh my God. Art by Asir. Shout out to you. We love you, mamita. She makes beautiful like paintings and hats. And she made Evie Queen's earrings. Like, and I think she's in Jersey. So we met and then we're like on the street and we're screaming, if you're Latino, you know. I was like, oh my God. I'm sure we jaywalked and then just like hugged. We elbowed some man that was walking. We were screaming. We were in the street forever. Like,
I know. And we had just met.
Yeah, like exploding. Yeah.
And then like instantly we're like, oh my God, all the we found out that we were Geminis at the same time. We
couldn't talk. Do you like alcapurrias? Do you have any adobo? You got sazón stash?
I know.
Did you know that in Footscray they sell sawtooth?
I know. So true. And then I was like, oh my God. And you're like, I don't know, your birthday. And I'm like, Gemini. And you're like, oh my God, I'm a Gemini.
I think that's anyway. When we elbowed someone. And then we went and sat down. We talked about your mom and my mom. It was like old friends. And it gives me the chills because obviously we wanted to talk about that today because I think if you're not Puerto Rican living in Australia, if you are, you better get in contact with us. We are the committee.
Hello. We're the fucking committee. Exactly. El embassy.
You better report to duty. Tell us if you're here. We want to know about
the
you.
The consulate. La casita. La casita de Melbourne.
Reporta la casita pink de Melbourne, please. But like every Latino, like if you've moved and Yari, when you told me, tell everybody, like, I think you're amazing because you're one of the first Puerto Ricans I met that like, I didn't travel. I think I got my passport at 25.
Yeah.
I didn't know that New York or Boston was a 5-hour flight to the UK. How stupid. I didn't know. Understood. I didn't know what the fuck that was and Kentucky, any of that. But this woman over here is well-seasoned. You got to like, lots of passport stamps.
I have lots of passports, actually, because not only have I ran out of space. Literally, I'm like, for those of you who travel, you know that you can go back and you can get more paper. So mine is thick.
Holy shit, you got the book.
I got book. I know, but besides that, you know. But yes, the passports thing, like, I think for me, you're not unlike many Americans, though.
I know. We don't go anywhere.
No. Well, the way I see it is that the U.S. is so big. Like, you can go.
Yes, that's true.
From the tropics to the desert to the mountains to, like, it's all in, like, one landmass,
right? And they promote that.
And they
promote the shit. I'm like, go to Vegas. Go to
100%.
Florida Keys. Yeah.
100%. And I think for me, no, I know exactly. It was my mama.
Aww, so shout out.
Mommy. I know, mama. I love you. So my mom had me very young. She had me at 17.
Wow.
And like one of the things I'll never forget her telling me as a young girl was that her dream was to be a flight attendant so that she can travel.
I didn't know that.
She wanted to be a flight attendant. So she used to tell me like, I wanted to be a flight attendant so I can travel the world. And I tell you something about the idea that you can get a profession that can get you to travel was something that, like, she planted a little seed. Una semilla. And, like, that was my mom. Like, so though she had never traveled much, she went from Puerto Rico to the island and, like, and back. Yeah. I mean, from Puerto Rico to New York, Jersey, like, that kind of thing. Yeah, I figured out, like, I want to travel.
That's good. Okay, so you were born. Tell us where you were born and all the things about you. Because, fuck, you're amazing.
Thank you so much.
I love you.
So just to finish that, part of the career that I got that got me to travel was I'm an anthropologist. So
What is that? Tell us. I was like, anthropologist. I actually, did you know I Googled it later? I was like, my friend is an anthropologist. What does that mean, ChatGPT? Well, I was like, oh, wow, that makes sense of what you do. Like, I didn't know what the fuck it was.
That's okay because you know how I learned about anthropology was when I was in university. And the way that I learned about it was that I went in undecided for all those undecided folks who are like, I just want to get an education. Yep. Let's see what, you know, Tick was my fancy. I went in undecided. And then at like the end of the second year, which is sophomore year, I had to pick a major. And the way I picked it was that back in the day, you would have like a course subject syllabus.
Yeah.
And like massive book that you can pick all the like all the descriptions of the courses. And I just circled everyone that I liked. And then I counted. I was like, really? And I counted. And it was like history, international relations, and anthropology. And I was like, ooh, anthropology. So anyway, the anthropologist I am is a cultural anthropologist. And honestly, the way I describe it, I love the study of people.
Yeah.
I love the study of cultures. Like I love to understand how people see the world differently, how people move through the world differently. So that is exactly what I do.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I've done it in lots of different ways. But yeah, cultural anthropology got me going and allows me to kind of see the world and understand people in different ways.
Is that why you started traveling? Because you were like, cultural meaning I got to go explore other cultures?
So I started my first ever trip. So when you ask where was I born and where I grew up. So I was actually born in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I was born in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
Atlantic City. Like this little casino. Anyway, so I was born in Atlantic City, New Jersey. But my mom brought me to New York. Like her and her family, and she was very young. My grandfather, my grandmother, my grandfather was a migrant who did a lot of farming.
Wow.
So from the island, he would do seasonal farming and fly all over the U.S. to kind of farm and then go back to Puerto Rico. He established himself in Jersey because he had family in Jersey. But then my grandmother and him saw an opportunity to like bring the kids over from the island
to Jersey.
Wow. And then my grandmother had like an aunt or a cousin who was in the Bronx. So they brought over the family to Jersey and then to the Bronx. So I was born in Jersey, but quickly I moved into the Bronx. So I was raised in the Bronx, the South Bronx.
Mwah. Yes.
Seriously love
the
South Bronx.
That's like Puerto Rico heaven right there. That's
yeah.
the whole.
I know, seriously.
That's like the Kissimmee right, of Florida, like SOA.
I know, it really was.
Wow.
So I was born in like, yeah, Atlantic City, but raised in the Bronx. And
how crazy, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know Atlantic City.
I know because the Bronx, I mean, I was an infant when I was brought over. But New Jersey is a really big part of my life. Like I would spend summers in South Jersey and, you know, my family, I still have family in South Jersey.
Wow.
So for me, when I think about my childhood, it was definitely the Bronx.
Yeah.
Bronx, very centered, New Jersey, South Jersey, and then Puerto Rico.
Mm.
My family's from Ponce. So like going back and forth from Ponce, South Jersey, Bronx, it was like that little triangular movement.
Yeah.
But to your question about like anthropology being the thing that took me traveling, I think those words of my mom, but also, I don't know, watching TV.
Yeah.
I love planes. I really like that idea of like suspending in air. And then when you land, you're in a completely new place.
That's cool. Yeah.
And
that's
like
cool how you say it. I'm like, I don't like the turbulence. Can I drive?
No.
I'm gonna keep that, like suspending in air and then you land somewhere new. Like, okay, I'm gonna hold that as a little.
And you land, yeah, seriously. Because like, I mean, you can do that in your mind. And I love people who meditate and can do that. I'm still practicing.
Yeah, same.
But if I can physically be lifted and then like transported. That's the thing. So the first ever international trip I took was to Italy.
Oh.
So I went to a Catholic school in the South Bronx, St. Athanasius.
Hey.
And my family, though they didn't have a lot of money, they really wanted to figure out how to navigate education. And they thought, you know what? We're going to put her in Catholic school.
Yeah.
And we'll literally had like three adults trying to fund my education.
That's amazing.
I'm
wow.
forever grateful for that.
That's
anyway.
Community, we think.
100%. So this St. Athanasius decided that, we were going to take a trip. And that's had
cool.
happened. Yep.
Wow, you went with your school.
Yeah. And then anyway, so that trip was like the first time. Espérate. I'm just sitting back here thinking, I'm wrong, actually. I'm like, okay. The first trip I took was to St. Catherine's Academy, which is another. So I went from elementary school, yeah, St. Athanasius, which was kindergarten to eighth grade, and yeah, then went to high school in St. Catherine's Academy, an all-girl high school. I just literally pictured the plane, and I was like,
Wait, no.
There was all my girlfriends here. So I went in, when I was 15 years old, I went to Italy with St. Catherine's Academy.
Oh my
That's correct.
15.
See how memory be like,
I know, man. You gotta
skewing
stop.
Ourselves.
You gotta be like, wait, she's been to too many places. She's on page one of the passport, okay?
No. But anyway, St. Catherine's Academy. And that trip, when I was traveling there, I'll never forget having to introduce who I was and saying, oh, yeah, no, I'm from New York. And then they would look at me a bit odd, like, New York, like, you're American. And then I was like, oh, yeah, but my family's from Puerto Rico. And then they're like, got it. Like,
yeah,
they're like, oh, yeah. And then I would speak Spanish. And then they would speak Italian. They'd be like, muta bella, marry me. And I was like, I love it
yep,
here.
Italian.
I love it here. But that experience where I can, I don't know, remake myself, reintroduce myself was like, really eye-opening.
At 15 too, that's
and
a big
something
year.
Like that, yeah, seated inside of me. And then yeah, so from that trajectory, from like 15 years old, I'm sure my mother's seed was planted much earlier, but from there having that experience, I was like, yeah,
you're travel. Like, I'm on a plane,
let's do this.
That is, so you would have got a passport at 15?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Now I think we think about our kids.
I know.
And our kids have got a passport, like, hi, welcome to the world. Here's a passport photo. Try to, baby passport photo.
Do you? I know. The baby passport photos.
Oh,
all
God,
those moms.
I just thought that. That's a big deal. Like, I didn't have a passport until I was 25, and my kid is like a baby.
Oh, my God.
Trying to hold his wobbly little head.
That's what I was going to say. My daughter always stuck her tongue out. So at 3 months, oh, no, 2 months, we were trying to get her passport, and
holy
we had to
stick
her tongue in.
Isn't that hilarious?
And then try to snap a picture.
Why can't we be smiling in the passport photos, friends? Why? We can't look like criminals and freaking...
And be smiley.
Nah. I was like, ¿qué pasa? Like, why can't we just... Like, I miss my California driver's license because I was so cute at 17. Just
you
like,
could smile?
Yeah, man, my California one. And my friend was like, wait. And put some lip gloss 1 second to the lady. And she's like,
fix
okay.
The hair.
It was like the
hair.
Clueless days. And she was like, 1 second. We need to fix her. And I was like, that was the sexiest. Could I keep that forever?
A little valley girl.
And then now I'm like, I did my working with children and I look like, no offense, but I look like I am not a safe person with children. Like, bien feo, bien horrible.
I know. Like,
you look like you're
the mugshot. Girl.
Non-sexy mugshot. Oh my God. Okay, so 15, you had the travel bug. That's amazing.
So, I mean, you said 25, but what got you the first trip?
Oh, that was...
And needed a passport.
So I actually went... Actually, no, I'm lying. I must have... Actually, I don't know. I think when you're in the military, you didn't need a passport. That's
no,
right.
No, you don't.
Military ID gets
you
in
don't.
For free. Okay.
100%.
Because I went to Korea.
What? Is
I
that
went
the
to
first
South
country?
Korea. That was the first country. And I was like 19 or 18. I was young. And it was when Von Dutch was around. You know Von Dutch? Von Dutch. I was like buying all the fake Von Dutch over there.
Oh, you're...
I was like, Von Dutch. I love this shit. Like, it was great. The skincare was off the charts, but I didn't care because I was like 19.
Yeah.
But they had like streets, like alleyways of beautiful skin things. Like, so now I'm like, hey, beauty. But back then, I should have got the facials, man. But I was there and it was amazing. And I don't think I needed a passport. And I was young. So I didn't.
No, you don't. As military.
Okay, that's why.
Yeah.
How crazy.
So you were traveling before you needed the actual passport.
That's what happened. So I went without a passport. So I would have got a stamp from South Korea. Okay. No, it wasn't until 25 I met a man in Vegas. And I traveled a lot in America. I did a lot. Yeah. I lived in Boston and then LA and then Florida. Like, I lived on all the triangles. Yeah. Pero it wasn't until I met Paul in Vegas and he was like, you should come to Australia. And I was like, I thought he said Austria. I thought
all
I was going to Austria.
Then. I know you said that to Austria.
I swear.
Oh,
I was like,
because
you know what happens? And this is the truth. And you're American. You know, don't lie. I thought he sounded like he was from the UK. That's all we knew about. We knew about Europe and...
Yeah.
UK. So I was oh, he's from the UK. Like, that's why he talks like that.
Yeah. For sure. I know.
So I'm like, Austria, Europe, same place. Australia. I never even thought about Australia. I didn't even know where the hell it was. I never saw it on the map. It was like a shadow.
Crocodile Dundee. Yeah, I it was like a figment, not even.
I don't even remember ever hearing about Crocodile Dundee. I don't think I ever thought about a kangaroo or boomerangs or indigenous culture. Or I don't think it came into my, you know, like when you went to school and then your mom had it. And then these things like.
Well, we start to piece those moments together.
Yeah, subconsciously. Yeah. And I think foster care, and I think it was like survival mode for so many years. And then it was like, I got to get out of here, army. And then it was army. So like my lens were very like, that was it. It was no like, you could do this. Or I don't know how crazy. Just a little side note about how people could plant things in your life as a child or a young person that could change the trajectory of your life.
100%.
And then your kids' lives. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, 100%.
So I just came to visit and I actually overstayed my visa in Australia and I got in trouble at the border going back home to America. And it was very scary. And I was like,
what did they say?
They were like, you overstayed by 5 days, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, I'm in the US Army. And they were like, okay, all right, no worries, Sergeant. Just make sure next time. And I was like,
Sergeant girl.
I was like,
we gotta use that more often.
I'm telling you, I was like, military ID gets you in for free. I was like, sorry, sir, military. And he was like, okay. Even though I was not doing no military, nothing here.
That's all right. Yeah, it's all right. You don't get in trouble.
But I didn't have a record.
You were in good faith.
That was it. And then every time, though, I came back to Australia when I was living here, I would always get checked at the border. They'd be like, you have a flag on your thing. I'm like, because I stayed back in freaking 2010 or some shit over They flagged me. Up until now, it's okay.
Yeah.
But probably for the first 5 years of living here, I had a flag. So it must have been like a 5 year something. Look at this weird lady that
just stayed back. Double check. Mm-hmm. What is she from the military?
I know. And then I came here and I saw a Contiki tour commercial and I was like, what is that? And my husband was like, what do you mean? It's Contiki. I was like, what is Contiki? And then I'm like, oh my God. And then there was posters everywhere. And I'm like, this is like seeded into every Australian kid from the baby years.
Oh, they
go on a Contiki tour, your schoolies, and go off with your, like, and I'm like, holy shit, if they started doing Contiki tours in America, like promoting it, we'd be out. Like, we'd be out. I didn't even know that was a thing. And Ray, Hamish's brother worked for Contiki for 9 years. So I met him because he was living in Greece and blah, blah, blah.
Is he in Thailand?
Like, he's in Thailand now. Yeah, but he was in Greece for 9 years.
Wow.
Wilding out, having a blast.
I mean, seriously.
So
I love that.
I didn't know. So I was just like this little baby at 25 getting a passport. But my mom, she was like 48 when she got a passport, or 55.
Yeah.
When she came here.
100%. I mean, my mom, I had to get her a passport. So I did research in the Dominican Republic and I lived there for a year. And I had to get my mom a passport, first time ever, because otherwise she was just traveling Puerto Rico, like you said, Florida, like it was.
She couldn't go to out of countries because then you have to have a passport.
Well, the other place you don't need passports is when you're on a cruise, which we did.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, like go to the Bahamas, right? Because you get like a 1 day temporary thing. You can enter the country and then come back in.
That's cool.
But I think things are different since 9/11, but I think Bahamas still is one of those places.
Wow.
But anyway, so kind of a bit of a full circle moment. My mom has traveled a lot because of my travel.
I know.
And she tells me that, like, she is the most beautiful soul.
That's so beautiful.
And she constantly reminding me and, like, closing these links for me. And she's like, Yari, like, I travel the world because of you. And, I didn't realize that's something that I wished for us, but I am so grateful to this
And now
life.
Your kids. Hello, your kids as well.
I
know. So it's like she initiated, you took it, changed your life, her life, the kids.
You know, I do think about that because I think like, of course, I've come the farthest, but I think about my grandparents. Mm-hmm. So my grandparents, they grew up in Ponce in the mountains in a place called Raices, which is like the roots.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway,
that's for café con ron. Como para la montaña.
Well, they're not. You're not wrong. Actually, the river that runs through there is used for some really famous rum. So they grew up there.
Wow.
And because of my grandfather's travel, I mean, of course, it was farming.
Yeah.
But that migration pattern, that movement, and that idea that you could pick up and rebuild a life somewhere else, for me, is seated from way back there.
Though
it's not like international, I could only imagine. My grandmother was a teen.
Damn, man.
And then like,
that
would
have been so rough.
Yeah. a teen with babies.
Would that have been the time? Because Yadi knows about all this stuff. I have to be honest. My husband, who is Sri Lankan slash wannabe Boricua, okay?
No, yo, he's like number one fan.
Puerto Rico numero uno. Like, my dad has brainwashed him to say that all the time, and he wears the hat.
And he does.
Look, he's got Puerto Rican kids, so he can be like a little bit of claiming. Just
look, 100%. I think I give it to him. I gave him number one fan.
Yeah, there you go.
Of the globe.
He's our groupie. He's our cheerleader. But he said he was the one when Benito started making like music and educating people and just more started coming out about Puerto Rico. Hamish, my husband, would be the one like researching, be like, did you know that in Puerto Rico they couldn't use the flag? Did you know that the light blue flag? Did you know all this shit? Like, I have to be honest, I didn't know. I didn't know any of that. And I feel like there's a lot of people who didn't 100%. Study culture and who grew up in New York, Boston, America, that are Puerto Rican, but they grew up in the States because their parents left or birthed them there.
Yeah.
Or they left and they had no idea. And I feel like the music, especially Benito, like no one else. J-Lo didn't educate me. Mark Anthony hadn't educated. I'm sorry. I love them, but they didn't. Like, he was the one. And I was like,
yeah, he's speaking to a generation.
Holy shit. Like, I didn't know. But you, when did you start to, because I would think your grandparents were the generation, maybe, of when they started selling all the sugar and they ruined the land and like they couldn't 100%. Agriculture anymore. Is that?
100%. So the way, you know, the way I really started understanding Puerto Rico, the island culture, and then the ways that that connected to my existence as a New Yorican was probably late high school, but definitely once I went to like university. Oh, so it's long.
Yeah.
So it's like a long, you know, I lived it.
Yeah.
You know, much like you, you can pick up like, yeah, of course we made pasteles and during the, know, during Christmas and like salsa merengue was part of our upbringing. I used to go to Ponce to see my family. I remember going back to Ponce as a young girl, a very defining moment when my great-grandfather passed away. And I remember kind of seeing the ceremony, seeing the open casket, first time ever seeing that. So like I lived it, but I didn't understand like that larger context, that social, political, economic context. So in the Bronx, going to an all-girls school with a lot of girlfriends that were Puerto Rican or migrant from like South America, we began like diving deeper on like
topics of
why are there so many of us here, right?
And how do we all get it?
I know. Exactly. But yeah, it did take a while. Like it was, and I think about that for my kids too, because I'm like, do I wait for them to like pick up a book? How can I like make the learning of history more lived in our stories?
Yeah.
And the way I've been doing that lately, not lately, in the last few, is through my family stories. So I tell my, like, I tell my kids, hey, you know, like, you know that grandpa, you know, their now great-grandfather, my abuelo, but their great-grandfather, I'm like, you know that he was a farmer. And I was like, actually, one of the ways that Puerto Ricans came early on was as migrant farmers. And hopefully I'll layer that with like exactly what you said. Well, when the U.S. took over Puerto Rico, one of the things they did was make the island a monocrop island, where we had such diverse crops before, right? And now we became super reliant on sugar and coffee, actually, as one other one, but super reliant on that. So that meant that my grandfather, when he wasn't working in the coffee plantations because there was no other work, he flew to the U.S. to be a farmer over
there.
There
was no other choice. Like,
there was literally no other choice. There was no other way for him to kind of supplement. And my grandmother started tejiendo, like literally sewing. Lace was a way that so a lot of the women actually supplemented. So all these like lace factories in Puerto Rico would have go into women's homes and say, if you want to make a bit of money, you can actually do it from your house. So they would like supplement and sew in the house. So my grandmother did a bit of that. But then of course, like many Puerto Ricans, they decided that they wanted to sell food because that was another way to like make a bit of money. And so she would make pasteles and was and anyway, she took that from there to New York and in the Bronx. That's what we did. She sold pasteles. She sold food. We would go to the festivals and have a little stand. Alcapurrias.
Like tostones.
Tostones. Pinchos. Totally.
Just, you know what's so wild? I always think about this because I felt like I felt like a little bit guilty when I started listening to the music of Benito being like, don't leave. Like, why y'all left? Like, where's everybody at? Like, people are leaving the island and like, you just come for a vacation and then you head off. And like, you know, I started to get like inquiry about that and be like, how do I feel about that? And then I didn't know, but I started unraveling my experience with Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
And as a kid, I was English speaking like forever. My mom, it was too much foster homes and shit. Ella no me enseñó. Like, she always played all, like, I grew up listening to Héctor Lavoe.
Oh, wow.
And
so did I.
Fania. Like, I grew up listening to that. Like, always, always that music. Yeah. And Gran Combo, like, Tito, what's his name?
Puente?
No, a Tito Puente, but who's the other one? El que es bien lindo and he's young. Ah, oh, what's his name?
Jenny Rivera. Jenny Rivera. Of course, I love Jenny. I
know.
Little he's face.
So beautiful. I wonder what he looks like now. I haven't seen him in years. Jenny, hit us up. No.
And yeah, then, such
you
a baby
know,
face.
Chayang and like all the, my mom, like old school, Mark Anthony, all the old stuff. So like there was always playing in our house. Yeah. And there was always cleaning and the
ritmo,
food. Totally. Yeah. But then I never knew the language. I never went, but I went when I was two. I didn't remember. So she would show me photos. But I had no connection. And then all I knew in my child head was that my dad left to go to Puerto Rico. And he was bad because he left me. To me, he was bad. She never talked bad about him. My mom was dope. Like, she never said anything bad. And she could have. Because there was some stories.
100%. My mom too.
Yeah. But, you know how nice that. I think it's nice not to bag your ex. Because 100%. To your kids, because let them fucking decide that he's a douche when
my
they
realize. My mom told me that later on. She was like, I knew I was raising a smart woman, a smart girl.
Yeah.
And you will make your own opinions.
Exactly. Like, nothing better. In my opinion, I'm happy she did that. But so I decided I hate him. And she was probably like, yes, good job. Like, I didn't steer you, but you got there.
But girl, of course. Because the thing is, you're seeing the practice or lack thereof of fatherhood, right?
Oh, my God. Like, he would send me, you remember those little chicken, something, it's so dulce, que they're like long sticks, and it's like covered in like, it's a chicken stick or some shit.
Oh, yes.
You know those
dusty.
Things?
Yes. A chico stick.
Chico stick.
It is a chico stick. Yeah.
So like what my dad would send, not money for my mom or diapers or anything, but he would send a teddy bear with a shitload of Puerto Rico candy from Puerto Rico. Eso lo que mandaba, like cavities in the mail. Thanks, Dad. And so my mom would just be like, este tipo no manda nada. So then at 7 years old, we went to Puerto Rico. And that was the first time I remember going there. Yeah. I have my little phono, which I keep on my desk because
I
that's little
it.
Seven-year-old me.
Erica
having my coquito, like my little, not coquito, but coconut ice cream, right? And loquillo. And I remember like going there, whatever. I didn't speak Spanish, whatever. This was a vacation for me as a kid. And I'd never been on an airplane. So that was like, 7 years old.
Yeah.
And then long story short, my mom had a bad accident. She went with her boyfriend. My dad took me away, kidnapped me a la fuerza. I remember seeing his face and remembering I scratched his face so many times. I'm like, oh, you're the man from my photos. You're my,
oh my God.
Father. But you know, like.
Came to life.
Girl, I was like, oh, in I hate you. And I'm saying all these bad words in English to him as a 7-year-old spicy little girl. And then we went to court. My mom's boyfriend was at court. He was there, my dad. And the court was in Puerto Rico. They were like, she has to go with her dad. You're the boyfriend. There's no legal. So I got to stay with my dad. And then for 12 months, I was in Puerto Rico. I learned Spanish. I went to La Navidad. Like, you know, I had the whole like, holy shit, Puerto Rico Christmas is the fucking Puerto Rico experience. Like we had the whole thing. And then lots of terrible stuff. He was an alcoholic at the time, whatever. Pero I learned Spanish. And then I forgot English and came back to America. And then I was thinking my whole experience with Puerto Rico was I was kidnapped. I was taken away. I didn't have choice. Yeah. It was a horrible, traumatic 3 days sleeping on fucking woods and floors and accident. My mom. So era como que Puerto Rico equals fuck that place. Bad shit.
Yeah, 100%. It's so then, through the eyes of that little
girl. And then the music comes and then Benito's like, our country. And I'm like, fuck that. Like that place is. So I had to, when we went in 2025, I had to like, I almost still feel like I need to go to like the indigenous people there and be like, hi, can you like help me? Like, welcome back. And I did my own healing, but I feel I would love to, because you know how they have that in different places?
Yeah.
And just go be like, I have to come back and be like, this place is safe for me. I'm from here. My roots are from here. My kids are from here. All this stuff. So I had this crazy fucking relationship with Puerto Rico for so long. So thanks, Benito, for healing that little mi corazón.
But to your point, like the island itself, like when I hear Benito, I hear literally not just music, but this history of an island, turmoil, resilience, but also the stories of the diaspora. And what you're talking about is, like, I can only imagine what your father went through. Yes. Being a Puerto Rican man, navigating both the U.S. and back.
Yep.
You know,
with a mentally ill partner.
With a mentally ill partner, right? And then in some ways, like you said, the dulce. Oh, my God. How many men, I honestly, and this would be, but in their lack of knowing how to show love, mm-hmm. right? And I would say this for a lot of the Puerto Rican men in my family, do so through a cafecito mm-hmm. or a little dulce.
Un quesito.
Like, honestly, my grandmother, she's struggling with some of her sons. And, like, honestly, they can do a lot of wrong, but if they come around with a dulcecito, all of a sudden, like...
Pastelito de guava.
So the music for me, kind of these layers of, like, you know, what it is to be a migrant, to be a man traveling back and forth, then a father, then trying, and then you at the center of this diasporic, I don't know, journey.
Yeah.
Trying to kind of find some stability, but the life you have is kind of back and forth, and your mom so is trying to get, I know, 100%. But you know, like, so for me, like, Benito, I can geek out. Mm-hmm. On all the layers that he brings out. But, you know, like, that story, when you think about Puerto Ricans in the U.S., there is that story of migration. There's that story of, like, celebration. But there's also, stories of deep mental health crisis. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's also a story of, like, you know, men being emasculated and not being able to find jobs and not being able to kind of
provide. Yeah.
And they're in, like, their relationship with police and being so, like, when you
my dad was definitely running from the law.
He was so many.
He's like, bye, I have to go to Puerto Rico because I did a lot of bad stuff and I'm gonna get arrested.
But then you're like, oh my God. So, like, all these structural things that were deeply affecting our communities, you know. And, you know, for me, learning Spanish, yes, my grandparents spoke to me in Spanish, but Spanish wasn't something I was learning at school because even though the Bronx was literally Puerto Rican center, it wasn't until much later, actually, there's, like, legal cases.
Wow.
In the 1980s of Puerto Rican activists and lawyers fighting the Department of Education to get bilingual education in New York.
Oh my God.
So no, not just Spanish. Not just Spanish, but bilingual education. So for all those who, like, in the U.S. and specifically in New York State, if you're ever thinking, oh, amazing, bilingual education, Puerto Rican lawyers fought for bilingual education, because you would have all these little kids coming into schools that spoke different language, and they were forced from day one with no training to adjust to English. So anyway, to say is, so we're in New York in a country, 100%. But the U.S. monolingual English only, which we're hearing again, movement was strong. So, like, you know, then we're navigating. I'm trying to figure out, am I learning English? Am I learning Spanish? I didn't really, to the point that, like, though I learned Spanish a little bit from my grandparents, it wasn't till much later when I decided.
Yeah.
Yes, Spanish is going to be my thing.
Yeah.
Because everywhere around me was like, nah, you're good. Yeah. English is enough, right?
Yeah. And then it Benito was taught. Yeah.
And then Benito comes, right? Then Benito comes.
Why are you such a part of this story?
Well, the thing is, because, like, all of a sudden, like, so then I was a Puerto Rican who spoke mostly English, but then the Puerto Ricans on the island were like, what happened? Why didn't you learn Spanish?
Yeah.
And, like, it was like, in some ways, I wanted to be like, because they stripped me of it. Like, I did it.
It wasn't like you had a choice. Tampoco, yo tampoco.
100%.
We didn't choose this. Okay?
We didn't choose this. Yeah. And, like, but there was this divide. Like, tú eres de allá.
Yeah, there is.
Right?
There is a, tú eres de Puerto Rico. Oh, tú eres de Americano. Tú no eres de Puerto Rico.
I know. So, there's, like, de aquí y de allá. Mm. And, like, there was that really big rupture. And for some ways, like, I can say, my family is from Ponce and stuff like that. I'm New Yorican, but what Benito does is literally in his historical lyrics.
Yes.
He tells you, like, you know, I know you didn't really want to leave. And for those that wanted to leave, I know you wanted back.
Yeah.
You know, and also, if you don't want to be back, you Puerto Rican anyway.
Yeah.
Right? It's an beautiful invitation to embrace the many ways that diasporas exist. And it's not just for Puerto Ricans, like for Latinos. That's why I think not only in Australia, but around the world, people really resonate with that invitation to be you. No, but to be you.
It's so true. It's so true. It was like the invitation of like, you're not, it's like you can't sit with us. He's like, you can sit with us and you can sit with us and you can sit with us. And it's so, that's beautiful. Nadie hizo eso. You know, like he did that. That's really beautiful.
100%. And he's like, he centered all these many stories. And then he does it in Spanish, which honestly for me is like, I would never have imagined that in a world stage,
I know,
there would be something other than English. Yeah. You know, like,
and he could learn, but he's like, I'm gonna talk with my accent, and you're like,
100%.
It's so good. And now, like, as we're recording this, it's like days before the Super Bowl. God.
I know. I'm so excited about it.
I'm so sad that we haven't done an episode of this before, but like, it really is. I'm sure that there's layers culturally to that. Yeah. Like, you come here. I told you, when I first came to Australia, I made a Facebook page, Puerto Ricans in Melbourne, and nobody was in it. It was just me. But I was like, I had a little hope, you know? I took a screenshot. I have the screenshot.
I love it because I was going to say that.
I know. I have it. I'm going to share. It was like a little hope of, and my husband was like, oh, Bendy. They're like, honey, no. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And then
we'll be around somewhere. Like, oh. Maybe someone will come. I know. Military. You never know.
And then I met a girl in Collins Street working at the bar, and I was like, where are you from? Because she had a little vibe of New Yorker. So where are you from? She's like, oh, I'm from Miami. I was like, oh, where are you from though? Like, what's your, she's like, oh, I'm Puerto Rican. I was like, like too crazy at the bar.
I know.
And she was probably like, what the fuck is wrong with this lady? But she didn't realize because she was just like a traveler. She was here like working in Saiba after 3 months.
Yeah.
So it never had like, and then Yadi comes and then we meet Marty.
Yeah.
And then, but you and I have definitely been the closest, like we are the committee of Puerto Ricans here.
I'm not joking.
Like, if you come to Australia, you just literally message us on Instagram.
Yeah.
And we got you, okay?
100%. So for me, my like moment, the first Puerto Rican that I met was very similar situation, like how we met.
Yes.
So like I met and I was an honorary researcher at Melbourne University, an anthropologist. So I was like tutoring and doing a few things, doing a few talks. And like a good friend of mine who's white Australian, and he was like, oh, wait, Yadi, you're from Puerto Rico? And I was like, yeah, my family's from Puerto Rico. And he was like, oh, yeah. He was like, I know this other Puerto Rican. And I was like, no. Yeah, he was like, he's an anthropologist too. And I was like, what? You know? And I was like, and he was like, yeah, he's here in Melbourne as well. And I was like, nah. Like, it was so that's how I met David.
David is an anthropologist too?
He's an anthropologist.
Yeah,
he's an anthropologist.
Really smart ass Puerto Rican.
I know.
You go.
He teaches at Monash. And like, he grew up on the island, I should say. He grew up on the island. And then he went and got his like PhD in Maryland.
Wow.
So he had like that US connection. So anyway, early on, all of a sudden, I was like, wow, like.
We need to get David.
I know.
How did you get here?
Oh, David. Oh, wow. He'll tell you. He was dating on the apps and he met his husband.
On an app. Y se vino pa acá.
Australian husband. Like, yeah.
That's crazy.
That's some love.
That's brave.
That's love.
Like, voy pa allá. Bien lejos. ¿Dónde queda? Not Austria.
Not Austria. And then his husband, Paul, before, you know, we were dating, he would go to Maryland.
Oh, he had a Paul as well.
Paul.
My Paul was not good, but that's okay.
No, so anyway, so me and David began doing these little traditions. We'll do like Noche Buena.
Yeah.
And then he still today does Los Reyes. So he does January 6th in his place. So he's like the Puerto Rican Theo, you know, like, and I'm super, super grateful
him yet,
for him.
We need to meet
you
him.
You will.
I love it.
He's a beautiful, beautiful human.
And because of social media, Marty, who lives in Melbourne, she's Puerto Rican. She messaged us because there'd be like Latin threads, you know, on things. And it'd be like, at Jody, at Eric, at the Queen of Confidence. And we're all messaging. And then people see.
Yeah.
And do you know, there's a new Puerto Rican girl. Yo no sé cómo decir el nombre de ella. Marchette?
Yeah, she's
¿Cómo se dice el nombre de ella?
I don't know. I wanted that's to the, ask her about her name.
That doesn't feel like a Puerto Rican name. It's like M-A-R-C-H-E-E-T.
Yeah, yeah. I actually, I'm not... Marchette, I would think.
Okay.
No se sabe, pero...
Marchette.
We're going to figure it out.
We don't know if this is right.
She's an opera singer.
So she found us on a comment under Garcia's thing. And then she was like, what are the Puerto Ricans? And she was like, Queen of Confidence, what? And I was like, oh my God, you didn't enjoy... Literally, this is the crazy thing. And you talk about this because you know this in your work. I don't know her. I don't know what she believes in. I don't know if she's a pedophile. She's not. Yeah. I don't know if she's a murderer. I don't know if she... I don't know her beliefs. But when I met Yari, I was like, you are my sangre. I love you.
Yeah.
Here's my phone number. Here's my address. I would never do that shit. I'm very private with everything else.
You are super private.
I am super private. I'm like, don't take photos of my kids on the internet. You know, like, I don't want people to know where I live. Like, I'm a little too American. But, you know, like, I was like, there's some chick in New York who's flying to Benito's concert in Sydney, and she's like, I don't know anyone. She's Puerto Rican.
Yes.
And I'm like, I will. She's on Instagram. Yeah. I'm like, DM me. I'll send you my phone number.
100%.
Who the fuck am I going to give my phone number to on Instagram?
No, but you know what? Like, I honestly.
What is that? What is that?
I don't. Look, this is what I will hypothesize.
Girl.
I think there's this kind of value system that we operate in. And it goes with, like, I got you. Like, you're my people. And, like, I got you. Like, until you prove me wrong.
Yes, I give you an A+ in my class.
I know. Until you prove me wrong, right?
Yeah.
But, like, this deep value system of, like, connectedness, openness, like willing to give and be kind. 100%. And, like, there is, and I don't know. There is, of course, we all have very different personalities.
Totally.
Like, it's not like every Puerto Rican is super extroverted like we are.
I know.
But.
That's true.
But there is that sense of, like, I don't know, somos Puerto Riqueño. Like, we're family. We.
Estamos en Australia. Like, I know. Lejos con cojones. Like,
but
wow.
Babe, when we put it in perspective, there's, on the island, there's like 3.2 million. Mm-hmm. It goes up and down. It's been going down because of, like, migration and stuff. But 3.2. And then there's about 4 million Puerto Ricans outside of the island.
Wow.
So there's 7 million of us. That's small.
I know. And.
But we're super significant.
I know.
In, like, in you know, world. In the world I in know. Terms of, yes,
what,
our cultural
Miss
identity.
Universes.
Oh my God.
I remember the number because I was like, that's a little island to have 13. Shit.
I know. And this big stars and the arts and, you know, when we think about activism. We think about, I mean, I said music and we talk salsa, but hip hop, girl.
I know.
I grew up in the Bronx. You know who, at the center of hip hop? Puerto Ricans, Jamaicans, and African Americans. Yeah. Like, it was that mix that brought it out. Anyway, so, like, big impact. And I think there is something to the,
I know, I just thought about Tony Toca.
It's like the big, that influence, I don't know, there's an openness, like, an openness to... Let's find out, right? Like, let's connect. So hermano. Like,
and that must be, because I remember Hamish read something. It was a book. I don't know if it was Sapiens or one of those books.
Yeah.
And he read something about if you're from Australia and you're in the UK, in London, and you see another Aussie, and you're like, hey, mate, how you doing? You're Aussie. But if you're in Australia, anybody's going to be like, hey, how you going? That's not very, it's
that's
not, like,
so
not.
True.
But if you're in London and you happen to be, or you're in New Zealand and you're from New Zealand, I don't know. Like, there must be a resonance or a...
It's a feeling of home. Yeah. There's this feeling of, like, you know, we have this shared understanding of being, how to operate in the world. Mm. Like, and even though you're in different places, all of a sudden, that shared link shines and amplifies. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's a magnet, you know, but it really is. Yeah. And then, like, you connect and then you navigate that new world in that place.
Oh my God, I just got, do you remember we went to the Gran Combo?
Oh, that felt amazing.
And there
and
was,
hot.
It was
really
so
hot.
We almost died. But anyway, that was very oasis. Anyway, they needed an air conditioner.
Yeah.
But there was a lady who had a little tank top and there was a little Puerto Rican flag and she looked fucking Puerto Rican as hell. We were very Puerto Rican. We had the earrings and we had the
colors. Yeah,
we were like, she is la poster girl, Miss Universe.
That's so funny because, like, I lived in Dominican Republic doing research and in DR, they would come up to me and they'd be like, you're like the typical Latina. Like you, yeah. Like and I'm like,
me too.
And look, in anthropology, we break that down. And I'm like, yeah. Why? It's because I'm caramel. I'm not too black.
It's the
I'm not
hair.
Too white.
It's the hair.
It's the curls. It's
the nose. It's
that,
everything.
It's that perfect blend of mixed, you know, which is yeah. definitely colonial. We'll talk about, but yes, I, yes. But yeah. So like, I've gotten yeah. that a lot. Like,
yeah, but it is. It's like, you know how that is so stupid, but you know how they did Dora the Explorer? And she's like, a Latin girl.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
She's got the Latin, like, it's like,
yeah,
the Latin
she got the look.
Girl.
The phenotypes that fit our imagination yes. of, like, yeah.
And so there we are, and we're trying to give the eyes to homegirl. We're like,
yeah,
hey,
I know.
Hey,
we're like,
hey, boricua. Hey, I see you dancing. Salsa. Hey, and she's just like,
I know. We're like, she's not
so
one
she's
of
like,
us.
No, she does she... not want to connect. She doesn't want anybody to know that she is here and wants no community right now, and that's okay. So that's what we mean is like, not everyone's like, you're Puerto yeah. Rican? Oh, shit. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not everyone. Pero.
Most
like,
are.
Most are like, oh my God. Like, and you know what? I was talking to my friend in Puerto Rico, and yeah. she's very connected to the media and PR yeah. and all these things. And I'm like, hey, we want to talk about, yeah. you know, how, not just how Bad Bunny is coming to Australia, but like what it means that a Puerto Rican artist who's the biggest artist in the world is coming to Australia, and there's like 1%, a little bit under 1% of Latinos
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Latinos, like all Latinos yeah. and mainly Colombian, mainly South American. We yeah. have counted, I don't know, I feel like 9 yeah. under 10 Puerto Ricans
yeah. Yeah,
that
yeah.
we've counted. And she's been here for a long time. I've been here for a long time.
Yeah.
We've met a lot of people. There's like yeah. 10 that we know of.
We're pretty publicly out there. Yeah. Like, yeah. especially like, you.
Yeah. yeah. When I went to Brisbane, one was in the audience and I was like, oh my God, I lost contact with her. But like when we count the years yeah. we've been here, we would yeah. say under 10 Puerto Ricans living in Australia
yeah.
and then less than 1% Latin Americans. For him to sell out a concert in a country that is mainly white Australian.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's huge. Look, I think there's so many reasons why Australians are like really resonating
yeah.
to Bad Bunny. Like not only the Latin Americans, the yeah. less than 1%, but like.
Because there'll be Australians there. 100%. There'll be all kinds of people there.
But I do think that there's like this strong theme about, you know, living outside of a place or living outside of a, like having a connection to many parts of the world
mm.
that you're not living in, but you're being influenced on and trying to navigate what does that, who are you in this space of like longing influence from far places
yeah.
and then, you're, you know,
yeah,
being there.
Rooted.
But then also he talks a lot about lands and like, you know, in Puerto Rico, what's going on to our islands, mm-hmm. like, and I think those conversations about land sovereignty mm-hmm. are strong
lands
here
yep, yep.
as well. And I think, I mean,
what
look,
he stands for.
Yeah.
His diversity. Like, I think I was thinking about yeah. El Apagón and like the Apagón, how we had like LGBTQ, trans,
100%.
Like just everyone. And I remember Arcángel did an interview. And someone was not trying to bag Benito, but they were like, you know, what do you think about the way that he wears makeup and lipstick and nail polish?
Yeah.
And he also does this and that. And Arcángel was like, bro, he's breaking down the masculine macho
100%.
Bullshit. He's like, he's been the only one to soften the culture and it needs to be softened. And Arcángel's like, not by me. I'm not going to soften it. But
yeah.
he is. And like, yeah. you can't say shit because... look at him. He's fucking bringing
he's
people
flying.
Together.
He's
flying.
He's
doing
soaring.
It. He's
yeah.
doing it.
But I think that's what's beautiful because for me, and I'm sure for you too, having shared your story about Puerto Rico and association with your dad and bad memories, is that, look, just because we're culturally proud doesn't mean that all of our culture we're yeah. proud of, right?
Totally.
So like what Bad Bunny is doing in many ways is like, yeah, I can be proud as F
mm-hmm.
and I can leave behind and reinvent mm-hmm. those things that I don't
yeah.
stand for.
Yeah.
The homophobia,
yeah.
right? Like the anti-black that we see sometimes in,
yeah,
you know, in our family and land cultures.
Hell
like
yeah.
he's like, nah, like I can be beautifully Puerto Rican and also say like, oye, nota. Yeah,
uh-huh.
like that's not right.
Yeah.
Like that's not okay. So that for me was huge
yeah,
as well
yeah.
because that ultra masculine like
that's just,
machista
like you said, yeah
I know 100%
know.
Like let's
like
be
he'll
human
wear a skirt and I'm like I love it and
100%
like the fashion like he is doing the fashion
Oof.
On a
yeah
and even like como se llama las camisas
Guayaberas.
The guayaberas. Like how he brought the old. I said to Yari today, I went to pick her up at the station. And I'm like dressed like an old man, but like a sexy old man with heels.
Yeah.
And then I was like,
heels and all, girl.
Like, watch out.
I'm like, are we showing our shoes?
I just need the energy so I don't feel like un viejo, you know? I'm like, oh my God. Like he brought that fashion. I got to go with my friend Nat, who I told you about, to, ¿cómo se llama? Yarias or Yayas. And she is the lady in Puerto Rico that makes, in Santurce, she makes his shirts. Oh. And it was like a boutique. It was beautiful. Oh. And she's just fucking cool. Like, she's not the typical, like, Puerto Rican. Like, she's like nerdy with her nerdy glasses. Yeah. And she's got real, like, folklore.
I
like,
love it. You know, humilde, her vibe. Pero
bien
humilde, yeah,
bien
but,
like, being like country.
Yeah.
Bien calmadita.
Pero chic.
Chic. And like the clothes, the shirts were like $800. And I was like, hell yeah, girl. Like,
do it.
Dope.
Get like, your money.
And everyone's going there to get their outfits for La Residencia. They're like, okay, I need the shirt. And I was just like, how freaking awesome. Like the tying in of the old with the new. And I mean, he's always been amazing and we've always loved him. I don't think our parents always loved him back in the day when
he
was.
Well, look, that's the other
thing. Now they do.
I think that's the other thing. Like, you know, I don't know. I love that. You know, there's this connotation of Latinos and Latinas as these like sexualized beings and lovers, right? And one of the things that like maybe turned our parents away early on is that it was reggaeton was super like, you know, super sexual, super like
chochabicho.
I know, all up in your face, right? So. Which, you know, I think has a place. And what I loved about early Bad Bunny, I mean, he's still this, but Bad Bunny was that it was like, you know what? We are sexual beings.
Yeah.
And like, we own our sexuality. And like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like, why not? Right. Yeah. But now that he brings in like the bomba, the plena, the salsa. Yeah. Do you know when everybody was sharing their Spotify, like the age of their Spotify? Okay. Thank you, Bad Bunny, because what he did for me, so my grandfather, mi abuelito Eliseo, is not doing well. He's been sick for quite a few months now. Yeah. And my grandfather is a like folklorist. Like he plays, he loves his guitarra, his cuatro. And I always remember him playing this kind of folkloric Puerto Rican music. And now in Bad Bunny's, he's like mixing that old in. So I decided that I was going to go back and listen to like the early days of like popular jibaro music in Puerto Rico. So now my Spotify says that my average age is 86, girl.
Jibaro soy esa canción.
I know, but I was like playing it and it. I don't know. There's something just.
It's your roots, man.
I know.
It's spiritual. It's energetic. It's.
Yeah. It's like deep in the roots, you know? Because when I grew up, I was definitely listening to more like Hector Lavoe.
Yeah.
But I was also like, my mom was growing up in New York. So she was like disco queen, you know? Like, I listened to disco. I listened to hip hop.
I was like, what? This is the
I was listening to Lionel Richie.
Hell yeah,
you know,
man.
Like. So, like, my upbringing was, like, a mix of, like, my grandfather's listening to that, my grandmother listening to all her church music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Espíritu Santo, lléname, lléname, lléname. That shit was,
seriously?
I gotta tell you, if you've never been to a Puerto Rican church, my friend, that shit goes off. Es un concierto.
Dame la mano, paloma, pa que. Anyway, so now we're getting, like, Christmas and.
We're just gonna open a pitorro back there.
Oh, my God. Yes. We have a little pitorro de coco here.
Hey.
So this is, yeah.
And from Maryland, you said they're doing a freaking. So one of the words that I never understood before I met you was diaspora. And I say it wrong. How do you say
you
the word?
No, diaspora.
Diaspora. In Spanish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Diaspora.
Diaspora.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? It was another word that I had to Google. How stupid, right? But I just didn't know.
Maybe it's not stupid. No,
I didn't know what that meant.
Not at all.
I'm like, living it, but I don't know what it means.
Look, it literally, diaspora is to speak of like people who have come from, you know, a particular place and culture, right? So like the African diaspora, you know?
Which everybody has a diaspora.
Everyone honestly has a diaspora, right? But there are some diasporas that we speak more of in some ways. So the African diaspora and the Puerto Rican diaspora, right? Like, so in that sense is that we have a lineage, a linkage that's not only just in, like, in terms of our DNA, which, like you said, we all do.
Yeah.
But that it's cultural, that it literally there's like a continuation that you can link to, right?
Yeah,
so we're all part of this diaspora, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, when I think about Puerto Rico is, the diaspora is massive. And it's not just because we wanted to. There's like deep political, government, economic reasons why there is such a big diaspora of Puerto Ricans outside of the island. But the other thing I think about is that, I don't know, there's something about our island culture that had us moving around.
Yeah.
You know, and like before the Spaniards came, before, like, we know that Taínos actually visited other islands.
Yeah, man, they got the boats on.
100%. And it was like, so there's this idea that's come deep, and island cultures can understand this, that you are from here and that you connect, that in some ways, like, your livelihood, like, in order to survive, you connect with other,
Totally.
Yeah.
That's the community, too. That's like the... It's so funny when we watch Moana, I was just like, I feel connected
to this.
Are they from Puerto Rico? No, they're not Puerto Rican. Okay, where are they from? Because I did. I felt like, but of course, if you live on an island, and it's so funny, Hamish, his family's Sri Lankan, and they have similar things. Like, they have something called baila, which is dance.
Oh,
and they
have,
like, just the energy and the way that they do things. I'm like, that's very, like, island Puerto Rico. And I was just like, you would if you had to, you know, go across to different places and get food or share your food or... export and import, that was a thing back then. So, like,
100%.
You know, and there would be community, like the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico have such a beautiful like cousin connection. You know, like, there's no hate there. There's just,
I mean, there was, I'm sure, but now
you see this, like, I don't know, like, you're happy that he's there and he's happy he's there, and you're like, oh my god, like,
oh, 100%.
And that's another thing I think of him going to all these different places is, like, I'm so joyous that Mexico is, like, one of his top countries. They listen to him.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're Mexican. And they're not like, oh, he's Puerto Rican, I don't care about him.
No.
They're like, he's just done it so well. He's intertwined into Japan and shit, like, with the Japanese. It's like, he is the fucking cultural remixer. Like,
he is. He's literally opening up the platform for people to come as they are and celebrate. Like, if you're going to the concert,
we'll
be ready to literally celebrate. Be ready to dance.
Be ready to cry.
Like,
don't
literally
have no tequila, because I feel like I'm gonna have a heart attack. You know when you drink,
just be ready to be moved, girl.
I'm like,
but, like, literally be ready to move, because what he's offering is such a strong story about an island, but also it's an invitation for all of us who have, like, dealt with being away from family or dealt with trying to reconfigure who you are, dealt with, you know.
What about, like, people passing and, like, not being like that? Debí Tirar Más Foto really is, like, for humans. That's like a human song.
100%. Like, 100%. Say
more. Yeah. Yeah. Like, did you take enough photos? Were you there in the moment? Did you appreciate the experiences that you had? Not like, it's so not like money and, you know, cars and bitches and hoes and, you know, like, where it used to be that, and it can still be that at different times, but, like, that song, and that song was, like, the viral song that he did.
100%.
It was like, spend time with people. Me and Hamish, as therapists, were like, we watched this interview with Zade, the guy from Apple TV. He's like a Kiwi.
Oh,
that
yeah,
guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, Hamish was like, I think someone in his family's sick. I was like, what? He was like, I think, I don't know. He's like, I feel like something's happened in his family, close dynamic, grandparents, someone's not well. Somebody's ill. I don't know. There's something that I think. And I was like, I don't know. We don't know. But we're just like, because life, you're young. And life shows you by giving you terrible experiences that you learn from. And you won't care until you lose that person. You won't understand until you leave your country and you miss your culture. You won't understand until you see somebody doing the wrong thing to someone else and being like, whoa, I feel that. So I don't know. But
that's
so
true, though.
Yeah, I was like, I wonder if there's some... it doesn't come from nothing.
It's a human
from something.
Story.
Yeah.
It's a deeply human story. I mean, that's the album. That's the album, like, cover title.
Yeah.
And, like, that feeling of time, you know, like, just things like that, that busyness of life, literally being a thief of time, right? And then, like, you don't actually focus in on the people.
Yeah.
that later on, and you may be like, this person matters. I spend time with them.
Yeah.
But yeah, their absence all of a sudden
yeah.
creates this magnitude of feeling like that wasn't enough, right? Mm-hmm. And do I have enough of a memory, enough of like artifacts to actually yeah. keep oh, that story so of big. Us going?
That's so big. It's so big, the artifacts.
Huge. It's so big.
Especially with phones now. It's like the, I don't know, like having those experiences captured wherever you can capture them and stopping enough to realize that person is missing or you miss them or you have a essence of them. And I think like sadness and pain and suffering brings you that desire and that reminder. And like, so that's why we're like, is something happening or did he see something or did something happen to insight? And I think as creatives, something like, it's like the action and reaction, like algo pasa.
Yeah.
And then you have a reaction and the reaction is this album. And I don't know if that's true, but this is my theory of like, yeah. what happened? What happened? What yeah. did you see? What did you, I would love to know. We want to know. Yeah. So dino Benito, ¿qué pasó? Que that,
yeah.
we went so hard into not only, cause it yeah. is a lot about the island, right? But then also yeah. the people, the family, the experiences. And it's one thing to take an old song and mix it and be like, oh, you know, nostalgia, but it's another to, yeah. The whole album is like a
100%
deep dive. How are you not gonna cry like that whole shit?
It's incredible. It's like you're crying, you're going through memories, you're feeling this surge of like, I don't know, like pride, you yeah. know, and then yeah,
sadness,
like, and then it's like perreo.
I know.
And then my it's favorite. Like straight.
What's your favorite song?
Oh
of the
my
album?
God!
Like I know it's hard, but like I feel like it's changed from when because we've had it for a year.
Yeah.
And now a year, yeah, like a year happy anniversary.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Yeah, January 6th when it came out, right?
Oh my I'd God. Say. Yeah, absolutely. So it was now, for ages for the three teams.
Happy New Year to yeah. Pilar Mafoto. So mine has changed, but what do you
Oh,
what do you,
yours has changed.
It has. I know.
See, look, I think currently, and it's been Baile Inolvidable.
Yeah.
And the reason why my daughter just had a quinceañera. My baby is 15 and she
She's
wanted
taller
to
than her
very much. And she, what was really surprising is that she wanted a quinceañera for like way before she was turning 15. Like,
yeah.
I think from my 11 years old, she yeah. was like, I want to have this thing called quinceañera. And we were, you know, we're already living here and she wanted to have it here. Because there was an opportunity for her to go to, you know, to for us to have it in Puerto Rico.
With the horses.
Well, 100%. Where there was like all these businesses that would support having a quinceañera yeah. in a Puerto Rican way.
Can you imagine that dress? Oh my God.
But like one of the things that like last minute girl, 2 months before the quinceañera, she told me, Mommy, I want to have damas, which is basically, I want to have a court of my friends.
They're like bridesmaids.
Bridesmaids, exactly. It's a court of my friends to come out with me. And I'm like 2 months before this event, like no way. So I was like, anyway.
Choreography.
And I was like, fine. I was like, if you do, then they're just going to walk out with you. There's no dancing. And she's like, no, I want to dance Bad Bunny's Baile Inolvidable. And I'm like, as anyone who has ever done an event, mm-hmm. having something thrown in.
At the end. With other people.
100%. 8 girls.
Who are not Puerto Rican.
Who are not Puerto Rican.
Whoa.
So anyway, I figured out, I was like, okay, we're going to do this together then. I was like, me and you are going to do a choreography. We're going to teach it. We're going to keep it basic. And she was like, it has to be to this song. It was perfect.
It was so beautiful.
I mean, what's crazy is because even the video.
We need to like put a clip in here.
No, I know. The Baile Inolvidable is beautiful because it's like this dancing, he's dancing there with this woman. But then Nueva Yol,
yeah.
that video comes out just before the quince and it's all about a quinceañera.
I know.
In the Bronx. So anyway, that's I swear the layers of connection was amazing.
Oh,
so I was
and you had
say,
like 25 Puerto Ricans there.
I know.
Her whole family from Puerto Rico were there. They yes. were like, I was like, I'm at the table with them going, whoa. And they're looking at me like, why is this bitch looking at us? And I was just like, I'm so sorry
Look,
to stare at you, pero hola tia, ¿qué tú haces? No hay una medalla aquí,
my
perdona.
Mom brought a delegation, like the Puerto
that
Rican delegation.
Was amazing.
They loved it. They were in awe that like a quinceañera. In Australia. They would
you should have got the paper for that.
I know.
We gotta still promote. That's crazy.
I know. I love it. But
I'm
anyway, that for
after.
Me
oh
that
God.
For me is such a big and the thing is that it Baile Inolvidable means like the unforgettable dance, right? Mm. And I won't forget that because yeah. I spent a very intense 8 weeks teaching my daughter and her friends how to dance salsa to this song. And that relationship, that access to my daughter's teenagehood and her relationship to her friends was such a gift. And I'm like, yep, that's my song. But yeah.
Watching that was just like, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Like, and he says, like, la vida es una fiesta que nunca termina. O que un día termina. Like, life is a party that one day will end.
Yeah.
Like, life is a party that it one is. Day is going to end. And it's like, and you were my unforgettable dance at the party. Like, that's just like, it's weird in English, but man, it's beautiful in Spanish. And like, he's made lyrics that you're like, nobody's said that before. Yeah. Como? How?
And like, no one's said it. Like, yeah.
How he says it.
That metaphor. So what's your, what did was, you start
that
off?
That was mine. That was mine.
Oh, okay.
And when then? It came out, I just was like, oh, it makes me emotional thinking about it. I was in the car and I have a video driving and I was bawling. Mm. And I was just like, holy shit, that song and the mudanza just killed my soul. I would just be like crying. Yeah. Like that fucking the trumpet, man. The trumpet in baile and la mudanza. Like, I can't. It's just like, you can't be alive listening to that and not fucking...
I remember seeing some Instagram, sorry, someone who was out there was saying that there is a kind of, I don't know, what is the, I don't know music, how to speak of music, but there's like this tone or...
Yeah, the notes or
the
something.
Notes, and that it actually... Some of his songs are notes that literally kind of tickle some neurological connection in our brain.
Yeah, well, they have those bases and the listening to different numbers.
Yeah, so exactly.
Wow.
So he hits it. So even if you don't, and I'm sure many of you have had the experience of listening to a song that you may not even understand fully, but there's something like guttural, something like... otherworldly that connects you to it.
Yeah, like it's vibration. So it's of course vibrations. It would.
Yeah, the frequencies.
The frequencies. Yeah. You just be like, holy shit.
Yeah.
But my
what's your new song?
Now it's AO. I'm just like, I just, because I know we're not gonna lose our motherfucking shit. I feel like the whole ground in Sydney is gonna fucking break. Like, I feel like we're gonna have an earthquake. And I'm like, what do I do? Because I get excited and then I'm like, se me sube la
bilirrubina. No, but yeah, no, I like.
That's a fucking song.
I love being around people in music.
I know, we just festival hop.
Like, I get it. Some people do not like to be around people. When that is a cathartic experience for me.
I know.
When literally the whole room erupts. Mm-hmm. In like sequence to this music in this frequency. So yeah, that's for me.
We definitely have this fucking down in the roots.
Like, I kind of want to just, if I can, I have a seat. I'm like you. I'm going Saturday and Sunday.
So we're going both nights. So unless we're in La Casita, we will be, first night is ground and then she's VIP.
Yep.
Second night, she's ground, I'm VIP.
Yeah. And like in the ground, I literally would love to just kind of stay still. I'm going to try. Like, I'm going to practice
I know you're saying
it.
Like.
And hold kind of energy. Elevation. Oh. Like.
Yes, I know what you're saying.
Because like there's few times I've maybe felt like that in the ocean when you just feel like there's something bigger than you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or when you're like
in the sky looking at the clouds and it makes you cry and
or like in a deep forest when you realize you're this small. And like I do feel like the energy in that concert will feel and remind us that there's something so much bigger than us.
We'll be crying.
Yeah.
We'll be crying.
And sweating. I will be sweaty man. I am not one of those like cute little pretty dancers.
No, girl, we've been having purple. Mira, porque yo soy blanca. Speaking of colonization, I'm the white one. So my cheeks go purple, not red. Not like blush. Like
linda.
Purple. And then I'm like, fuck it. And then my hair gets matted.
Yeah,
so
girl.
So we just gotta put that thing
it
up.
It starts like bandana. This, and then it's like this.
And then it's just like, perreo, baby. Tra, tra, baby.
Girl,
I feel like we need another episode going through like the songs from an anthropological view.
I know,
girl,
but the way, so for me, an anthropologist, look, there's many anthropologists who could break it down in music. Look, I am such about lived experience. Yeah. So like for me, if I broke it down, I would probably break it down
in stories.
Yeah. I would break it down in feeling also. Yeah. Like this song makes me want to eat like some pasteles or like see this. Yeah, look, music is such
a
big part.
Together.
I know we do.
I'm just very, I am very grateful that Robert connected
us. Oh, Robert,
for real,
thank
because
you.
Now we have like we're so we really. I always said to my husband when I met my husband and we had half Puerto Rican, half Australian, Sri Lankan kids, Puerto Lankans.
I love it.
I was like, we have to bring.
Yeah.
Like moving here, we didn't get to talk about it, but I do want to say moving to a country that doesn't have your spices, your fruits, your veggies, your fucking anything, you start to be like, oh shit, wait, my grandma makes fucking sofrito. Like I buy that shit in the bottle from Goya. Yeah. Like, and then you realize how fucking bad all that shit is. Anyway, sorry, Spain, but it's bad. And then you're like, wait, how do I make it? Then you're on YouTube and Google and Instagram trying to find these recipes.
Yeah.
And then shout out to all the amazing Ami and all those amazing Boricua like chefs in America who have massive Instagrams where they're teaching you how to cook your food. Because like for us, we live here and we're like, oh shit, save that video. So then I'm learning how to make sofrito. I got my little fucking Nutribullet and I'm like, my sofrito is a bit watery, but that's okay.
It's
fucking
right.
Tastes great. 100%. And then my kids are eating Puerto Rican food and they love it. And I'm like, you are fucking Puerto Rican. Yes.
I know.
So then I said to my husband, we're going to have Christmas. We do Christmas Eve. That's his mother's birthday. They don't do shit for her birthday. So I'm like, well, for your birthday, feliz año, nochebuena. We're having a happy birthday.
Exactly. And then which
Yari,
I love.
Yeah. And then Yari's like doing this kind of like Friendsgiving. Umoja, and that's an African.
Yeah, so like so Umoja, 100%. So Umoja means unity in Swahili, and the way I learned about Umoja itself was because it's part of Kwanzaa. So African Americans celebrate Kwanzaa, and it's bringing together their kind of African diasporic lineages and bringing their understanding.
Which are also
experience.
Puerto Rican as well.
I know, exactly.
Because we feel like African Puerto Rican. Oh my God.
100%. So I learned of Umoja, and then, where I went to uni, I went to Cornell University, we had these different living centers or whatever, and like, we learned a lot about Kwanzaa as well there. Yeah. So like for me, Umoja was my way of celebrating what I really loved about the Thanksgiving in the US, which was like coming together, being grateful.
Yeah.
Right. But I honestly could no longer kind of celebrate the displacement of indigenous and Native Americans anymore. So I'm like, how do I center the community? How do I center? So basically it's Umoja. And it does happen in like November. So in some ways it's kind of symbolic of, the fall. But for us, it's the spring.
I know.
It's spring going into summer. Anyway.
But community builder over here.
Yeah.
Because meeting Yari not only introduced me like, okay, David and a few Puerto Ricans. But then I was like, these are the most black people, American black people, like African American people that I've ever seen in Australia. And my husband is brown and he's like, oh my God.
I know.
Hi. Wait, what? For her birthday. Look, I was like, I feel like I'm in New York right now.
I know. Look, like, some of my like US friends were like, look, if you only looked at Australia from your Instagram, you would think.
There's a lot of black people. Hell yeah.
Black and
Latinos.
I know. But it's like, and honestly, it's the world you cultivate.
Yes,
it's the world you create, right?
And we got some great Australian friends. And
I have incredible, beautiful Australian friends.
But it is. It's that, I don't know if it's like diaspora, but it's like that, that longing and desiring to see what feels familiar, what understands you, what feels belonging.
Yeah.
And so Christmas Eve. We have done Christmas Eve together for like the last 3 years.
I know, girl.
And the office has changed, right?
I know.
But it's beautiful because like your family comes, my kids are here. Then we have more friends that come from all different countries.
Yeah.
And everybody comes and we have Puerto Rican food and our music. And
with prawns. Like
I know.
It's
with Australian prawns. Nobody's shrimp on the bobby, but we're doing, we do a little bit of prawns.
Exactly.
From the Slum Dollar Market.
And look. Look, one of the things, finding each other is incredible. But the other thing that is like, now that we've collected each other here in Australia, like if ever in the world we go anywhere else, now it's like this special bond.
I know.
You and I have this Puerto Rican Melbourne experience that no one else has,
I know.
And it's like that beautiful layering of identities.
I have incredible. To tell you. ¿Qué pasó? So when I went to America to, I died. It was like my parent, because my mom obviously is not well and she couldn't do anything. So I feel like you get a lot of mothers in your life. You get motherly people. You get sisterly. That was the one good thing about being a foster kid and the only child my whole life.
Being loved by different
I was like,
people.
I'm gonna build my, you're gonna be my sister. You're gonna be my brother. You're my auntie. Like you can, I feel like everyone can do that. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
I just have no barrier where other people have barrier. I'm like, I fuck my family if I want to fuck them off and I'll just make my own family. And so I'm in Puerto Rico, which I could not believe. We were in the air and I looked at Hamish. And before he met me, he was like, I have a thing about Puerto Rico. Like he would listen to R&B and hip hop. And you know, Cisco, Puerto Rico,
and
like Puerto Rico, black people, morena, boricua. Yeah, yeah. So Hamish always had a Puerto Rican thing.
Yeah.
And so then he ends up marrying a Puerto Rico woman. And we're in the air and we're about to land. And that man, I have a video, but I haven't shared it. But he's bawling his eyes out. And he was across in the, you know, like, and I just was
we
like.
We have kids in between.
I'm just like, I love you. And he's just like, I can't believe we're landing in Puerto Rico. I know. And I was like, don't cry because I'm crying. So we're like crying, right? What was the point of me telling you this?
Family, creating family.
Yes, so we're in Puerto Rico, ADHD, and then we're doing the book tour, and I'm like, I'm not gonna, I don't know anyone in Puerto Rico, barely anyone. The book tour in Puerto Rico, the event sold out, like the seats were sitting, and we did it in Spanish, and Yadi.
That's incredible.
Yadi's mom lives in Puerto Rico.
I know.
And Yadi's mom's like, I'm gonna go. To the thing. But tell her, tell them, her listening.
I know.
Where was your mom with her whole crew?
Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. She was chatting.
Llegó del aeropuerto y vino para...
Yeah, so my mom, previous, like, because my mom's now a bit of a traveler. You can't slow her down now. So anyway, so she was in Texas. And then I was like, Mom, so Erica's going to be there. She's like, I want to go. And then I was like, wait a minute, your flight. Land at like 2 p.m. and your thing was at 5.
Yeah.
And then it was about a 40-minute or 30-minute drive.
Yeah.
She was like,
but traffic.
With traffic. I know, exactly. She was like, perfect, I'll go. And then it happened to be my brother was the first of the three of us who had kids. So my first niece, Angie, happened to be traveling in Puerto Rico that same time. Crazy. And this is huge because, like, you know, I'm the first grandchild. She's the first grandchild. And, like, there's something really special about being the oldest first grandchild. And, like, I don't know. There's something that I loved about being able to connect my niece on an island, our island in Puerto Rico, to my gorgeous friends from, like, Melbourne, Australia.
Wild.
Right? Like, incredible. And, like, seeing you... literally blew up, you know, like for me it was like, look hon, yes, you embrace where you started, but that does not dictate where you end. And like for me, that was one of those I call it a mangrove moment. The reason why I love, I'm like a bit fascinated. I'm like a little, maybe a little more than fascinated with mangroves because.
What's a mangrove? I'm Googling words with my friend.
I know.
She's the best. I'm like,
mangroves, these incredible trees that live both above water and below.
Oh.
So they have this incredible like root system.
Okay,
we're going to have to show. Anyway, mangroves are incredible. So, and they're so important to our ecosystems and so important to climate change because. They little shelter, like it's an ecosystem, basically.
Yeah, in the water.
In the water.
Wow.
And they connect. So this is a reason. So mangroves live above and below, and they have this incredible connection in the water and above water. So for me, whenever I think of like this life I'm living, for me, those points of connection were like, from above or from below or from like literally the U.S. To the side. And those connections that become little shelter points, right?
Yeah.
Like these like little havens. And like mangroves are havens. And anyway, they're incredible, incredibly important. So anyway, that's a mangrove moment where I'm like, oh my God, my niece, who's like at uni right now in Texas, happens to be in Puerto Rico visiting her abuela, my mom. My mom is coming. And then my girlfriend and like Erica's doing a massive thing.
Her mom walks in and I started crying. Like I knew her, but I didn't know her, but I knew her. I was just like, it was like, it wasn't like my mom, but it felt like It felt like, honey, it is. You know what I mean? Because I'd imagine
I get it.
Yadi wasn't there. Like, she would have loved to be there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But my friend's mom's here. So, like, Yadi's in me with me.
100%.
Receiving her mom, our mom. And I was just like,
isn't that beautiful?
Like, it was so amazing. I can't believe it.
For me, it's such a gift to connect humans in the world. Like, honestly, to connect relationships and to, like, build. Like, there's going to be a point that there's going to be people that we've mixed that all of a sudden it was like, wait, how do I know her?
And
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Instagram. No. It was, I know, but like, because the layerings are so thick, you know?
Well, and of
like,
course. It's,
yeah, that gift of relationships and connection points all around the world is beautiful. And I know for many people, like, when you travel, it's incredible. Like, there's something super special. Like, you know somebody I know. And all of a sudden, like, we're connected.
Yeah.
You know, there's something that draws us together.
Yeah. And I feel like it defies, that's probably the thing of like, oh, you're a Puerto Rican, it defies time. I need to know you for a certain time. It defies
100%.
Filter system. It defies class. It defies like bullshit on Instagram that you got this many followers or you're this person.
Yeah.
Like, it defies that. It's like, you're a human. I'm a human. We have some kind of connection, like your mangrove.
Yeah.
And come into our shelter. Like,
come into our haven.
Man, come and be with us. Because I think that is the coolest. This is very itchy. Imagine being out there cutting shit and making all this.
The only thing that could.
It's a mini.
Animals, it is a mini. It's cute. Could only imagine that you could only bear this.
Oh, the animales.
Well, the animals, but also the sun would be unbearable.
Girl, I will get a sunburn.
Yeah.
Vamos ponerlo por aquí. And then. I'm like, yo me quemo.
I know.
I got a big ass sun hat from Puerto Rico when I was there. And it had, like, in bling, it says Puerto Rico. And I've been wearing it because this is the first year. Australia's sun is not Puerto Rican sun.
Oh, my God.
That shit will burn you.
Look, honestly, Puerto Rican sun, like, caresses you.
Yes. Like, it's you turn, like, this beautiful.
Like,
caramelito.
Whereas here in Australia, it sizzles. Like, it literally
gives you cancer.
Yeah,
basically.
100%.
It's crazy.
I tell that to people. I'm like,
but you don't know. You don't know.
No. Until
you
get here.
And then you get burned.
I know. And then they're like, I'm like, do you remember that hole in the ozone?
It's right there.
Yeah. It's right over us. Thank you.
Thank you,
people who are not believing in climate change.
Yeah.
I'm like, you come out here. You feel it.
Yeah, go sit in the sun from 11 to 3.
2 seconds. Girl, honestly. Like, it feels like the sun. Yeah.
It's not
the
fair.
The fun is telling you is power.
I want to be tan and I have to do spray tans and all that crap.
I think that's better, baby. Let's do that.
So you're una blanquita. Oh, man, Yadi, I feel like you know what we need to do? I almost feel like we need to have like another round table with all the Puerto Ricans we can find.
Oh, my God.
Or maybe at the concert, I'm going to bring my mics and we can do like a little
speed
like,
round.
David, are you coming? Or Jackie, who's Dominican and she's here with her husband and her two kids from
Dominican from the Bronx.
New York. From the Bronx, and they know each other from years.
We're sorority sisters, Omega Phi Beta.
Hello. From
but
years.
Also That's Cornell wild. University. Like, so we met.
That's crazy.
While we're at uni. Yeah. And like.
And for her to be here in Sydney.
Oh, with her twin boys.
And she's a sister. Like, you hang out with her a lot.
Oh,
you see each other a lot. And like, then I met her at the Euromaja event. And I was like, oh my God. So we are doing our best. And if you're listening to this and you're like, how do I find my people and my culture?
Yeah.
Like. 16 years, 10 years, like happy 10 years, right? Coming up soon. And like, I think you have to build community where you can and how you can. So if it's not Puerto Rican, maybe, well, I found Latinos. And I was like, because I thought there was no Latinos here.
Yeah,
and then I
100%.
Was like, and I've never been like, I have friends on Instagram that only do stuff for Latinas and that's their thing.
Yeah.
And I love that. But I was really like, when I checked in, I'm like, women, all women. Like, I really want to help all women.
100%.
So then coming here being like, there's no Latinas. Oh, well, I'll just help the women here because I'm women anyway, like all women. But like to see Latinos here and then to go, now we go to the festivals. So we festivals, we do Christmas Eve, we do our Noche Buena,
we cook, we're just like, I know.
We're doing it. We're going to the freaking concerts as a family. Like our kids know each other.
We're still connected to Puerto Rico. Like
I know.
Only I have
your
family
mom,
there.
Airbnb, girl.
We have an Airbnb there. Like,
link in the show notes if you wanna do it.
Like absolutely. Like, you know, and whenever some crazy shit happens in Puerto Rico, unfortunately it happens a lot. Like I'm impacted here, right?
Of course.
In some ways, like to your point, like all of us who live this kind of diasporic life, we are impacted to some extent by what's happening 100%. In other places. And sometimes you feel so alone in, you know, like
100%
because And I can imagine all the people around the world right now that are feeling this, like their world, their country's either at war or occupation.
Oh, hello, America. Oh, exactly.
But and you're operating here in Melbourne, beautiful city. I absolutely love the city.
Yeah.
But you're dealing with all these like deep concerns and contradictions, and like everyone around you is like having lattes and having fun, and you're grateful for that. But without a community, yeah, right, where you can be like, fuck, WTF, I'm so scared. Like,
yeah,
like I'm, you know, it's really hard. It's really hard. So like, yeah, wherever you are, find that community that kind of fills all those aspects if you can. You know, it's you have to be intentional.
Totally.
You have to build it. But like, you have to do the work to build it. But like, it's really important because it does. You know, as much as like I'm grateful for the safety and stability here, my internal world is connected to things outside of here, and like being able to share that actively with some like really good friends is so important.
It is.
You can like,
and it's of service.
Release.
It's of service if somebody's Australian and they want to hold space for that, or talk to you, or they're French and you're in France or wherever, you're in Germany. There's a lot of people in Germany as well, right? Like if you're there and you're like, I can't find my people. Even just sharing what's on your mind. Like one of my kids' friends, their mom, not their dad, but their mom is from Venezuela.
Yeah.
And they came for a play date. And I forgot that she was from Venezuela. So I didn't check in with her with all that shit that was going on. But she was like, man, I was like, how are you doing? And then she was like, well, you know, the Venezuela. So I'm like, that's right. You're from Venezuela. And just listening to what 100%. She feels, how she feels, not giving my opinion because I don't say the Venezuela. I don't know. And it was for her. I could see her like, she can't do that shit at corporate Australia.
I know.
Like, no one's going to hear her in that space. And I didn't do anything but listen. And it was like her shoulders like softened. And I was like, give me a hug. I love
100%.
You. Come get your kids later. You know, go off and do what you gotta
100%.
Do
what you gotta
do. Go chill, you know? Yeah. But like, that's so true. Like, it's also in service of the person listening. Like, they don't have to be, they don't have to get everything you get. You know what I mean? They don't have to get your world.
Yeah.
High five. They could just be the space holder for you, you know?
Yeah.
And shout out to you because you are I'm a community builder on the internet. Like, I feel like I build communities and connect people online.
Sure do.
But you are a community builder in person here. Yeah. You really do make the effort to create the events, to find people, to message, to connect, to invite. Like, you are the queen of belonging. You're like, you come, bang, you come too. Can this person, let's go. And you really do that. And that's why it takes work. So you have to be willing to do that.
For me, it's so essential. Like, you know, when I think of wealth, like I think of the wealth of the people I have around and on this earth. Like, we're here one life, right? And like, for me, I travel a lot and I would love to have all the experiences in life that I can. And the way that I can live more and be more human is actually through connection through people.
Yeah.
Because I only have this one life, one body that can only be in one place. So for me, like, relationships are so essential for building community, but also living a really fruitful life and understanding what it is to be human in ways that I can't do by myself.
Hell,
like, we're not supposed to be by ourselves, right? So anyway, so I do, like, I know, community
is
huge.
You're good at it. You're
Thank
so
you.
Good at
I
it. And I know it's not easy because sometimes organizing people and doing all these things. So me and Yadi are going to go to Puerto Rico in January. Hamish might not
put
come.
Put it out in the universe.
Say, hey.
Hercules.
Girl, we're doing it. We are going.
Es que vamos.
Okay? Tenemos que ir. And it's going to be great. So if you're in Puerto Rico, expect we'll be
I
at
know.
The fiestas.
100%.
Okay?
We're going to do it.
It's just
something big.
We have to.
Yeah.
We got to come back. And Australia is amazing and we love it here, pero it also, there's so much missing as well. Like,
yeah.
Me falta sazón, batería y reggaetón. So we have to bring it.
100%. Yep.
Oh, Yadi, I love you.
I love
you're
too.
You're the best. Look at our, we got to show you because it took some time.
Oh, yes.
Okay?
The decoration of the backdrop.
The setup, the books.
I know.
We got our little ta-ta-ta. We got our little pitorro. We got our banderas.
Yeah. Look.
Stay
homage
tuned. I know.
To our people.
Yeah. And big ups to Benito.
Yeah.
Okay. Que Benito Ocasio, who's coming here and going everywhere in the world, but definitely means a lot coming to Australia.
Coming to Australia.
It's going
to
be a
land
moment.
Down under.
And you know who that is? Toto.
Hey!
Toto.
No, it is big. Like, it is big. It's big for this little island to be on like, global stage. Like, when you're there, you're literally, he's not just bringing his music. He's bringing un mundo, yeah. a little yeah. island, you know?
We're and excited. Like,
100%.
Stay tuned, friends. I love you.
Yeah. Woo! Dance, love, and, like, live life.
We'll see you at the concert.